When the National Museum of African American History and Culture opens to the public tomorrow in Washington, D.C., visitors will be able to view about 3,500 artifacts on display that trace the experience of Black America. From the dress seamstress Rosa Parks was sewing before she was arrested to rock and roller Chuck Berry's cherry red Cadillac convertible. They can also take a look at Harriet Tubman's shawl and hymnal. Tubman was a slave who escaped to freedom and helped others do the same through the Underground Railroad in the 1800s. Now, the Underground Railroad has been shrouded in mystery, but Martin DeCaro from Here and Now contributor WAMU took a myth-busting trip down a stretch of one route in Montgomery County, Maryland, and found that the truth is no longer hiding in the woods.
No matter how many times tourists ask him the question, Mark Thorne remains patient and polite.
They asked me, where are the tracks? Where are the tunnels?
And they're stunned to learn there was no subway in antebellum Maryland.
To see people go through the process of understanding that that was just a term that was used and not a literal sense of a track and trail.
Yeah, not a real railroad.
Not a real railroad.
With locomotives.
Correct. And to see that kind of, that aha moment amongst adults. Because I come from a children's museum experience. So when I see adults have that light go off as well, It amazes me.
Every time Thorne and his colleague, Cheryl Spicer, take another tour group around Woodlawn Manor Cultural Park in Sandy Spring, Maryland, they get to separate fact from fiction.
All Quakers are not abolitionists.
In fact, Dr. William Palmer, the Quaker who owned this plantation, owned slaves, 13 of them, and his complicated legacy stands in the form of a stone barn built in 1832.
So as we stand here in this incredible barn for the early 19th century, I'm wondering how this plantation in what was the South became a transit point for the Underground Railroad. Shall we hit the trail?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go.
These woods have stories to tell.
As we head out to retrace the steps of runaway slaves and the conductors who helped them reach freedom, Thorne explains why the Palmer Plantation is the center of what he calls a perfect storm.
Right across the river is Virginia, the most northern point of the Confederacy. Then you look to your east, you've got Baltimore, which had the largest population of free blacks in the country. And look to Washington, D.C., that had the largest slave markets. And 40 miles is Pennsylvania, the Mason-Dixon line. So this was the point of the perfect storm. And that's one of the reasons why we have this trail and this experience here.
The trail simulates what an escaping slave might encounter, hiding places in hollow trees or behind thorn bushes, streams and creeks to drink from, and stuff you don't want to step into.
We find a lot of manure on the trail from horses. What that means to us if we're escaping is slave catchers.
Not all the hiding places were on the ground.
Okay, people, look up. You've got shelter and you've got a hiding source. You can climb a tree.
One giant poplar wasn't for climbing. It was a landmark to signal which way to go.
This tree is shaped like what? How would you describe that tree? Now, don't use the alphabet because 9 times out of 10, many who are escaping are illiterate.
I was going to say a V, but to an illiterate slave, that would have been useless.
Letters are not going to mean anything. What other common types of objects would you find on a farm that are familiar to you that you could use?
Considering I've spent very little time on farms in my life, I'm going to have you just give me the answer. We'd be here
Mark,
all day.
No, give us one.
A pitchfork.
A pitchfork. Ah, yes.
You've been baling hay using a pitchfork. That's something that you're familiar with.
Flights to freedom through forests in the dark of night are just part of the story, though. My guides say slaves were just as likely to hide in plain sight in daylight.
One of the examples we use is a story of a young girl who was disguised as a young boy in order to be rescued from enslavement in Rockville. The young girl's name was Anne Mariah Weems, and she was about 15. And the way that they got her out of Rockville was to disguise her as a young man. And so she made it successfully from Rockville up to Pennsylvania.
And for every Anne Mariah Weems, there are many others, runaways and the slaves and free blacks who assisted them, whose names are lost to history. But with the opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture, Spicer and Thorne are excited about reclaiming as much of that history as possible.
I see this museum as shining a beacon and highlighting the presence of the African-American story throughout the country. It is your focal point. You're going to go, you're going to get the broader story. And hopefully it's going to make people curious. It's going to make them interested. Well, wow, if they have a Harriet Tubman, what do they have in my area?
To me, it is a method or it's a vehicle to get my community more involved into museums. And I think once people go to a museum that's about their story, they will start using these resources for science, technology, art. I think that this is a great doorway to my community using museums more.
And as for those tourists who ask Thorne to show them the old Underground Railroad tracks, the museum should clear that up too. For Here and Now, I'm Martin DeCaro.